The Extra Mile Podcast. Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast. In this podcast, we follow the progress of fellow runners across the globe as they train for 5Ks, 10Ks, half or full marathons. Visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com and send us your email or audio files at theextramilepodcast@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 86 of the Extra Mile Podcast. This is Kevin, your host for the next, 50 minutes or so. And it is lunchtime in Cincinnati, so I must be out on a run. Today is Thursday, August the 4th. Impressed, are you? Usually, when I'm out running, I am pretty good at remembering the year. I'm about 80% on the month, and it goes down from there. Typically, my greeting is something like, "Oh, I'm out today in early July or mid-August or whatever, but I know the date today." And if you are anywhere close to Cincinnati, I would contend that you should know the date today as well. And if you don't, shame on you. What is so special about August the 4th? Why have I been waiting for about 2 months for this day to happen? Well, let me give you a hint.
1, 2, 3, 4! She was just 17, you know what I mean, and the way she looked was way beyond compare.
Well, how's that for a hint, huh? Have you figured it out? Probably not. Anyway, I have been waiting for this day ever since they made the announcement that Paul McCartney would be bringing his tour to Great American Ballpark beginning at 8 o'clock on August the 4th. So, let's see. See if I got my checklist all put together. Spend about an hour online getting the tickets, check. Spend an exorbitant amount of money on tickets, check. Line up a babysitter who's willing to come over to my house and stay probably rather late tonight, check. Convince my wife that she really does have some sort of interest in spending the evening with me at this concert. Semi-check. Hit the ATM for even more cash to pay babysitter and have dinner out. check, and finally spend the day of the concert listening to McCartney, Wings, and Beatles music to get psyched for the concert tonight. I've done a little bit of that, but got more of that to do. Maybe after you and I chat a little bit, I'll get on with that. Today is another hot, humid, and sunny day in Cincinnati. I think we're up to, 17 or 18 days in a row of 90 plus temperatures. And it's also either my fifth or sixth day in a row of running. So I think I will slow the pace down today, probably back off the mileage, and use some of this run to convince myself to take tomorrow off. The other reason I really should take tomorrow off is because tomorrow evening we are getting house guests. My in-laws are coming for a few days, which among other things means I will be running this weekend with my wife, who I affectionately call the little Energizer Bunny because she runs fast. She also has not quite embraced the Galloway walk break thing, so I will be running this weekend not only faster than normal, but without walk breaks. And without a day off, I will be a hurting puppy, so just another good reason to take tomorrow off. While I'm on the topic of the heat, the darn heat has started to cost me some money. And I don't mean with the high electric bills I've been hit with. This is probably disgusting to most of you, but I have so far ruined two iPods and one giant squid microphone because neither of those devices seems to enjoy getting wet with my profuse sweating I do in this heat. So I now have a new quote-unquote refurbished iPod, and hopefully very shortly we'll have a repaired giant squid microphone back in my possession. And since no one seemed to beat me over the head with a club to help me understand what was causing this stuff, I've now acquired a little, looks like a Glad bag. It's called a Lock Sack. L-O-K-S-A-K, I think. But it looks like a little Glad bag. Much more heavy duty. It is supposedly waterproof, windproof, sandproof, all those other kinds of proof that hopefully will keep these devices from dying on me again. That was an idea from my buddy Mike from right here across the river in Fort Thomas, so hopefully Mike's helping me save a few bucks. I'll let you know. So in this episode, we've got some really good race and training updates from some people that we have never heard from before. And I always enjoy that part. Maybe some nutritional advice from our buddy Chris Russell at the Run Run Live podcast. And our buddy Michael is going to give us a review on his brand new spy belt. So I think you'll enjoy this episode. Let's give it a shot. We will chat again at the end. And y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Hi, Kevin, and all the Extra Mile podcasters. This is Peg calling from Fountain, Colorado. I am calling in with my latest training report. Today I completed my 26-mile training run for the ADT Marathon, which will be September 5th, 2011. I had a pretty good plan going out. I was going to start out early and beat the heat. I planned on running the actual route of the ADT Marathon all the way through. It's a point-to-point marathon. So took all the effort of planning and getting up there and having someone's going to be picking me up at the bottom and all that. So as I'm running down the trail, about mile 12 and a half, there's a sign saying trail closed ahead. So I had to make some decisions. What was I going to do? I thought about going ahead and going through the blocked road, but then I thought I could get in trouble because it's on the Air Force Base and all that stuff. So I just sucked it up and turned around and ran back. It was about 14 miles back. It ended up being pretty good, run. Felt really good. I did 30-30s throughout the whole, run. And I, took it really easy because it started to get really hot. Started out about 65, ended up probably about 85, maybe even in the 90s. I was lucky because there's a lot of water on this trail. There's a couple of trailhead kind of bathrooms. I was able to dunk my head inside one of the sinks and get soaking wet to make it through the last, probably about the last 9 miles, fill up my Camelback with water. So I ended up being a successful run in the end. I wish I could have ran the whole marathon, but maybe next run, my 29 miler, I'll be able to work it in. I think the trail is going to be closed up until October, but opened on the weekends. So I didn't get to run on the weekend this week due to some other family problems, but I did make it. I was able to run today. So looks like I'm on track with my training for the ADT Marathon, and I look forward to hearing everybody else's training reports or race reports. Good luck with everybody. I'm sure some people's summer marathons are starting, and fall marathons coming up, training for those. So good luck with all of that. Talk to you guys soon.
Good morning. This is Chris. You're all the little happy birds chirping. It's about, what time is it? 6:51 in the morning. Me and Buddy here are sitting on the front porch, looking out over the estate. Beautiful day. Nice and cool. Sunny. Gonna be a hot one, though. Gonna be up in the 90s today. So I gotta jump on my bike in a couple of minutes and ride down to the start of the triathlon that's right next door here. I figured I'd drop a note to you. I'm eating my oatmeal, drinking a little coffee. Well, I'll give you some sound effects. So, nutrition-wise, it depends on what kind of race it is, but this is a short race. It's a sprint triathlon. So chances are you're going to be in, you know, zone 3, zone 4. You're going to be working really hard the whole time, so you're not going to digest much. So if you want to get any energy in your system, you want to get it in, you know, at least an hour ahead of time. I think I'm in the first wave. Starts off at 8. I hate that, being in the first wave. I don't know why they do that to me. And because what typically happens is, since I'm not a very, you know, I'm not as strong as, I'm not a triathlete. I'm just a runner who does triathlons. So typically in the swim, I get beat up pretty bad. And so if I go off in the first wave, the people who are supposed to be in the first wave, they kick the crap out of me. And then about 3 minutes later, the elite women cruised by and kicked the crap out of me on the course. So that's why I don't like the first wave. I'd rather have some people to follow than just have people taking me from behind, if you know what I mean. So, but anyhow, back to nutrition. I typically have a little oatmeal, you know, in the morning. That's what I always have, so it's nothing new. I have a little coffee because that's what I always have, so it's nothing new. And then I race. For a longer race, I might eat something different, but for a longer race, you're typically in a lower effort level, so you can digest stuff. This race, you're not gonna digest anything. So I don't know why these guys, you know, why these people who do these short races, these 5Ks and sprint triathlons, and just are constantly eating stuff. It's not going anywhere. It's just sitting in your stomach. So, but you know, if it makes them happy, what the hell? So anyhow, I'll give you my race report, even though I haven't done the race yet. So here's my race report. I went down to the race. I rode my bike over because it was very close to my house, about a mile away. And I went off, had a pretty good swim, surprised myself. Bike was pretty strong. I was a little weak on the hills. I got to do some more hills, and my front derailleur is sticking a little bit on the Fuji. I got to get a new derailleur. So that hurt me on the hills a little bit. But then I got into the run, and it really hurt because my heel's killing me. I have to go see the doctor tomorrow. But all in all, I had a good time, and I was done by breakfast. Ciao.
Good morning, Kevin and Extra Milers. Assuming you're listening to this in the morning. If not, good day, everybody. This is Michael calling from Prattville, Alabama, with a race report. My last message, as I let everybody know, I was running my first 5K, my first race ever. That was last weekend at the Bridge of Lions, San Augustine, Florida, and it was just an outstanding experience. There were a great number of people there. They got us started with a musket gun firing. There were three or four guys there dressed up in some kind of old-fashioned garb and launched us with a couple of muskets, which was really neat. Started out over the bridge, and just a gorgeous bridge, beautiful scene. Weather was perfect. And I really am proud of my time for my first race. I finished at 29:44 and averaged 9:36 pace. So I was very excited about that. It's a great, great experience. If you have an opportunity to do it at next year's event, well hosted. The water stops were at every mile, and it was absolutely perfect with the Garmin. And it was just a great, great experience. So I wanted to let everybody know about that. Plus, St. Augustine is a beautiful town. If you get to go a day or two earlier, plan to stay a day or two late and check it out. To top it off, I got to run with my cousin, who's a longtime runner, and she and I, and her daughter, my other cousin, ran it together and made a great experience even better by getting to run with them. So, very excited. Now it's on to the Montgomery Half Marathon, which is October 1st here in Montgomery, Alabama. And everybody check it out. It's online, MontgomeryHalf.com. I encourage everyone to take a look and see if your schedule permits and come give it a try. It looks like a really great course in downtown Montgomery and goes through some nice historic areas, so it'll be a real good run. So my Galloway schedule shows me for a good long run this weekend. I think it's 8.5 miles, so now it's really time to start pushing to prep for that. Posted on the Facebook site that I got to use the spy belt that I won on the Galloway Extra Mile podcast, which was really great. I want to tell everybody, if you are looking for something like that, definitely check out the spy belt. It's like a black hole on your waist. I mean, I just kept putting stuff in, and it just kept taking it. It's nice and secure, extremely comfortable. I didn't even know it was there. And I put my iPhone, keys, eye drops, driver's license, chapstick, all kinds of stuff in there, and I didn't even know it was there, so definitely want to check that out and mark one of those. Okay, everybody, hope you have a great day. Hope your runs and training are going well, and be safe. Run injury-free. Thanks. Thanks, Kevin. Great job as always. Take care.
Hello, Extra Mile Podcast. Kevin, and in to the old, an ode to the old, let's call it Chris and Nigel too. This is Kevin Kilograms from Orange County, California, and it's been probably 2 years since my last submission, and I have to apologize and give a quick explanation without going into too much detail. I apologize because I have been extremely sick, in and out of hospitals. Some of you who know me know some of my conditions, or maybe most of my conditions. The major is diabetes, but haven't been able to run in any consistent fashion. I start walking again, and I'll start running again, and I get hit with another bout of retinopathy, you know, neuropathy. I get nerve damage. I've got, I'm starting to go blind with this retinopathy. So it's just been a battle. But I wanted to, you know, I'm out. Actually, I got asked by my oldest son, and some of you know me. My oldest son is a Navy corpsman who serves with the 7th Marines. He's a medic and did a tour in Iraq and Afghanistan with them. Just got a new assignment. He's been in school, you know, getting his nursing degree, and he didn't want to ship off for another combat tour, and he... So he put into transfer down to San Diego at the Navy hospital there, and they gave him the assignment. They're not sure if he's going to be at the Marine Recruit Depot, which is a training facility for Marines, which he'll still be with the Marines. They just don't want to give up on him. They want to keep him, but at least he'll be homebound in San Diego, or if they'll send him over to the hospital to do something there. But now that he's homebound and he's going to be here for, well, if he reenlists, another 5 years, he asked the olds, you know, my bucket list has always been to run a marathon with each one of my kids, and I've gotten one down and I have four to go. And Michael, my oldest, came to me and said, I really want to run a marathon. Will you teach me how and run it with me? Boy, you don't say no to that. I don't care if I'm in my deathbed. That is, you know, that's right up there with being offered a key to the city, or, you know, winning the lottery, in my opinion. So, yes, I'm training again for the Long Beach Marathon in October, which will coincide with the Worldwide Festival races. So I'll be running that again as well. We'll see. I'm on a cool down phase of an 8 miler. I'm using the Galloway method. I've always used the Galloway method, even in my ultras when I did the 250 milers. 1-1s. Well, I'm using a 1-1 now. I've used as high as a 9-1, and I know that doesn't really fall into Galloway's program, but wasn't running the Galloway program. I was just doing a run walk method. That was a when I did ran my birthday crazy ass ultra, or I ran my age in miles, which is well into 40s. Today it was just a 1-1, and now I'm taking a 7-minute cool down walk. And I've got Honey, my dog, with me, and I was listening to Charlie White out there in Colorado, and congratulations to Sammy. And I love the name. Us with dogs, we recognize the the fun moniker. You know, if Honey's been by my side, so, you know, she's one of my best friends, being bedridden and in the hospital, she's been getting separation anxiety every time I go into the hospital, and my wife would have to bring her down. Now, she can't come in, obviously, but I would try to work my way over to a window and yell to her if I could. You know, unfortunately, one of the hospitals I go to is, you know, one of the medically sealed ones. So, or I would, if I was up to it, I would wheelchair it down to the lobby and out and spend some time with her. But when I'm at home, my dog doesn't leave my side. I think she recognizes that I'm having problems, and she guards the house like she's supposed to. But if I move around, she's, you know, a nursemaid. She's almost like the Nana in Peter Pan. Well, enough about that. I wanted to call and thank everybody for continuing, especially Kevin, this podcast. although I haven't been running as much, I have been listening religiously. It's one of the few things that I continue to have is a few of my internet running buddies, you know, people I've met over the years who have run these silly long distance races, whether they be a 5K or an ultra marathon, and we've connected over them for no apparent reason. You know, I probably have 300 or 400 friends on Facebook, and no, maybe other than my family and the close friends I had, you know, growing up, they're all running friends, and I've only met maybe 2% of them, but they all mean something to me. And I wanted to thank everybody for your submissions and your race updates and keeping me abreast of how your running's going, because this sport is very valuable to me. Heard a couple things on the last two podcasts that I can add to about running in the heat. When I was in the Army, I was a Ranger, and one of the things we used to do is we used to take bandanas and we'd fill them with ice. You can get them wet if you want, but it wasn't necessary. And you roll ice and then you roll them into a big burrito and wrap it around your neck. Been used for centuries as far as I understand. I guess it hits an artery or a vein and has a tendency to cool the body down. There's a product out on the market that I found recently when the heat got up. You know, I'm in construction, so I'm looking for anything to kind of keep me cool when I'm climbing around on a ceiling joist or rafters on a roof and the sun's beating down on my head. And that's, it's called mine has a label, it's called Blue Bandoo, B-L-U, Bandoo, B-A-N-D-O-O. I think it's just a Bandoo, and blue is the specific type I have. Really an odd product. They can have hats and bandanas and neckerchiefs, and I have this neck wrap that it's flat and it's got these little pellets in it. I mean, they're beads, they're like the beads from a beanbag chair. You feel them in there, but soak it in water for about 5 minutes and the thing balloons up and just holds a ton of liquid. You don't even have to freeze it or anything. It's just a matter of the evaporation factor keeping the thing cold, and you put that around your neck or on your head if it's a hat. It'll last longer than all day. I've worn it. Kind of odd to get used to, this sponge that's maybe a 3/4 inch in diameter around your neck. But if you don't tie it tight, it and just kind of get used to it, it just sits there and nobody even comments on it. Just, you know, a lot of guys wear bandanas around their neck to hold the sweat. And so that's what it looks like. And it's been phenomenal. Another thing, I learned this trick when I did the California Ironman in 2008. It was a little, not predominantly hot. You know, let's go with a California hot would be 80. What they would do is they freeze up these sponges, or at least they were coming out of ice cold water, and people were sticking the sponges under their running shirts. And I found that if I stick those, someone, I was going along, I was on the run portion of it, and the guy says, stick it under your hat. And don't squeeze out, just stick the whole thing under your hat. And sort of dribbled down the back of my neck, but oh dear God, was it awesome. The whole time, it must have dropped my core temperature by 5 degrees. It was phenomenal. I was really having some hard time with that. The heat of the run, you know, running marathons and stuff, you typically don't run into the middle of 3 in the afternoon, unless you're an old fat guy like me. But, you know, on an Ironman, the race is so much longer that the run portion is in the afternoon. Even if you're fast, you know, you're going to be in the afternoon. And if you're slow like me, pushing the outer limits of the time, then you're definitely going to hit the heart of the heat. And that was a pretty terrific thing. Another thing is I've done a lot of exploring with the wicking material fabrics. Absolutely necessary. Any new runner, it's one of the things I recommend first off is, like I said, running shoes and then some wicking material. And you can do your own exploration, but a company called Drymax makes a sock that that was a lot of hype, and but had an opportunity to try it, and son of a gun, if I didn't have, I did this, the first time I did it was a trained up with it, and then I ran the American Rivers 50 miler, and I have a tendency to get blisters on anything over the 26 miles, and no blisters. They were amazing. I saw people doing a little YouTube videos of them. They would stick their foot in a bucket with the sock on, and then they put the you know, bucket of water, and they put their foot in the shoe and then run around the block a few times and come back, and their foot would be freaking dry. And you have to go in and read their science. They actually use two separate fabrics that they've woven together to create an inner side and an outer side. Come on, honey. It's rabbit chasing time. Made this a little too long, and I just wanted to pass on that information. Kevin, I'll hear about your next race and look forward to hearing from you on the next podcast. Thanks for keeping it out there. I appreciate it. This is Kevin Kilograms in Orange County, signing off.
Kevin, good day to you, and hi from Somerset in the UK. This is Peter Herridge. Just wanted to pass a comment, really, and give some advice, if I may be so bold, to the contributor last time who was asking about whether one should train over the distance. Should you do 26 or more miles before you enter a marathon in training? My experience, and I only offer experience, not expertise, but my experience, having done several marathons and ultra-distance running and indeed Ironman triathlon, is that over-distance training is immensely beneficial. To me, the great benefit comes in the psychological component. I think if you've achieved over-distance, then when you come to toe the line for the actual event, the battle with your mind is already half won. And I think most of us would agree that most of our running, when it comes to competition or trying to set records or distance records for ourselves, most of the competition is in our own heads. We're never going to be contenders for first place, but we're trying to beat our own demons or barriers or hurdles, whatever you wish to call them. So my advice would be definitely, if you can, if you have the time, the energy and the commitment, then overtrain over distance. Sorry, when I say overtrain, I need to be careful. I don't want to suggest that you should overtrain yourself. I just mean train over the distance that you're planning to run. And whilst I'm on submitting this, my first ever submission to the Extra Mile podcast, although I've been listening for a while, may I take the opportunity to just pimp my own podcast to all your listeners. If anybody fancies trying something new, having a quick listen, I've been producing the first few episodes of a podcast which I've entitled Spikes. So it's quite simple to find. Just go to iTunes, enter Spikes, and it'll come up there in the podcast folder of iTunes. And hope you enjoy it. And to everyone who's undergoing their training at the moment and enjoying their running, as I say in my podcast, run with joy. Bye for now.
Hey, Kevin and all the extra milers. This is Todd in beautiful Gatineau, Quebec, just giving you a race and training report. As I mentioned in previous podcasts, I'm currently training for the Montreal Marathon, which is scheduled for the 25th of September. Right now, as my training stands, I'm at about, I'd say, 40 miles per week, which for me is pretty good. Any more, if I get over 50 miles, I have a tendency to get injured. So 40 miles, I'm pretty happy with my weekly mileage. My long runs are getting close to 20 miles. I'm almost there. I'm at about 28 kilometers, which is probably just short of that. To kind of measure kind of where my fitness was at, about 3 weeks ago, on the 1st of July, which is our national holiday here in Canada, I ran a local 10K. It was actually the Bushtaka Canada Day 10K race. And it's kind of held in conjunction with a lot of the Canada Day festivities here that happen in the nation's capital here in Ottawa. For just those of you a little bit of background, July 1st is our national holiday, and it kind of celebrates the joining of British North American colonies into Federation, which is Canada, July 1st, 1867. So it's our national holiday. So a local 10K was kind of a a lot of large Canada Day festivities here in Ottawa this year, just because we had the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge kind of visiting at the same time. So while 300,000 people were in our downtown core of Ottawa kind of celebrating Canada Day, there was about 500 of us doing this local 10K a little bit further west in the city. My goal was to get under 50 minutes for the 10K, just because that would be give me a good indicator that I'd be able to do a four-hour marathon. Looking at the different training charts and tables that Galloway and others have kind of published over the years. So my goal was I wanted to get under 50K, a 50-minute 10K. The race started, it was about in the high 80 degrees so and a little bit of humidity, so it wasn't ideal race conditions. I came out of the blocks way too fast. I managed to keep under a 5-minute kilometer pace for the first 5K. Probably they did the first 5K in just over 23 minutes. And then bonked. Basically, the last 5K was a combination of walking and running, and I managed to hit 50 minutes flat. So kind of a little bit disappointed, although it was a tough workout, and I kind of used the 10K to kind of replace my mile repeats. I was scheduled to do 7-mile repeats that weekend, so doing the 10K, I kind of said, okay, that's going to be my one speed workout for the week. So a good training session, but a little bit disappointed with my performance. Is a four-hour marathon still possible, given that Montreal is a bit of a hilly course? I don't know. I'm going to shoot for it. I'm not exactly where I want to be, but I'm not that far off track either. Once the 10K was over, I returned home, and I immediately packed up my family into our SUV, and we were going on vacation. So we went to visit New England in the northern United States, and managed to get a lot of good training runs in where we were staying, in both Burlington, Vermont, and Portland, Maine. And I got to say, if you're a runner in either of those two areas, some great training spots, and the people are very friendly. Managed to get a couple of beach runs down in Maine, Old Orchard, Maine, beautiful spot there for any listeners from that area. 10K on the wet sand, great training, and in Vermont, obviously the hills, which would help prepare me for the Montreal Marathon, which kind of runs on Mount Royal in Montreal, which is a bit hilly. So I managed to get my 40 miles in per week, even on the 2 weeks of vacation, again in both Maine and Vermont. So yeah, overall my training is going well. Got mile repeats scheduled for this weekend. I'm supposed to do 1 mile repeats at about 8.5 minutes. So it'll be challenging, but I put my faith in the hands of the Galloway training program and trying to stick to it as much as I can. It's going well. Managed to avoid injuries, and like I said, my long runs are getting up there slowly but surely. Everybody have a great end of your summer. Hope your training is going well. Stay safe, stay injury free, and talk to you soon. Take care.
Greetings, Extra Milers. This is Russ from Dutchess, calling in with a couple of race reports and a summertime heat report. Since I last talked to you in April, I managed to run the New Jersey Marathon in Long Branch, New Jersey. A terrifically flat course. There was one or two minor little bumps. The only problem with that was that I train on hills all the time. So at mile 20, as you might expect, my calves started cramping like you wouldn't believe. I managed to work through it though and finished the race in just a couple minutes longer than my PR for the marathon. So I was pretty happy with that. But then it was time to take a little break from marathoning and let my wife catch up. We have a competition as to who can run more, and I'm a couple ahead. So she's insisted that she gets the time to catch up with me. So I've tried my hand on a couple of smaller races, a couple of 5Ks, and in June I started triathloning for the first time. I managed to get into a local race just 3 days before the actual race. So without any training, I went out and swam and biked and ran. It's just a sprint, so not terribly long distances, but it was something that was a lot of fun, and I'm surprised how hooked I was. So hooked indeed that I then went and ran my second triathlon just a month later, with only slightly more training, and managed to finish in a better time for about the same distance. So I think I'm hooked on a new type of sport, or a new application of our sport. More importantly than any of the races, though, I finally managed to start inspiring others to join our sport. The gift that all of you give to me every time I listen to this show, of inspiration and the motivation to keep running, I've been able to pass on to a few other people, a couple of friends, a couple of family members, who've seen me running and know the challenge I've had in losing weight over the last 10 years, and has said, teach me how to do that. Teach me what we can do. So I've gotten a couple more converts to our sport, and frankly, I've gotten a couple of running partners, and it's I've found after years of running alone that it's kind of fun to run with other people and share and socialize while we get in some exercise. So I'm, again, always grateful for all of you calling in do and sharing your stories and sharing your motivations, and especially those first-time callers. And especially, I have to say that I love the fact that the Clydesdale runner used to be the Clydesdale turtle, and clearly he seems to have changed his mindset, which is an inspiration to us all. All right, everybody, it's going to be a hot summer, as you all know already, I'm sure. So try and keep yourself cool, keep running, and we'll talk to you again. Take care.
So, I'm just coming back from the beach. Not the big beach like the ocean beach, just the pond next to my house where they have a town beach. And it's about 8 o'clock at night. I had to go to an anniversary party all day today, and Buddy was in the house. Buddy's my running partner, and I've been neglecting him horribly lately. And he needed some work, so I took him down the pond to let him swim and to throw the ball for him. And there was a family there with a couple of kids, a couple of boys, and they did all the ball throwing for me. I forget how lucky I am to have a dog that will actually chase a ball and bring it back to you. And so throw the ball out in the pond, and Buddy will go get it and bring it back. So he's a good running partner. He's a good boy, aren't you, Buddy? Yeah, he's a good boy. So I want to hear stories about you folks who run with your dog, like Charlie White. So send us some of those stories.
Hi, Extra Mile podcasters and Kevin. This is Amanda from Austin, Texas, calling in to give you an update. I know it's been a really long time. I'm currently trying to survive the streak of 100 plus days here in Central Texas and still getting as much running as possible in. I did sign up for an early October half marathon. It's the first time that Austin is having the Sea Jane Run half marathon, and that's going to be on October 9th. So I'm trying to build a good base and build up some long runs, because it's been a while since I've done a half marathon, and I'd really like to race this one and see what I can do. So last weekend I did 11.5 miles, and I had to get up really early to try and beat the heat. And this weekend I'm going to try another 11.5 miles and see if I can do it a little faster. So one big adjustment for me running this summer is that I finally broke down and bought a hydration pack. So I'm using the Nathan Speed 2 waist pack. And although I'd prefer to run without the extra weight, I like not carrying anything with me. I do really like this waist pack for what it is. It's pretty lightweight. It fits really well around my waist. It doesn't bounce, and it's very comfortable. So I have been using that on pretty much all of my runs, and I've noticed it's made running in the heat a lot more tolerable. And the other thing is getting up really early in the morning when the temperatures are as cool as possible. So that's pretty much it for me right now. I have a friend who's training for her first half marathon. It's going to be in January. And she asked me for some advice, and that was really exciting. I've been able to put together a training plan for her, and I run with her at least once a week on her longer runs. And it's really excited to see someone being very motivated about their first half marathon, and it's a really good feeling to be a part of that and help out and see someone's endurance improve over short periods of time. So I will try and call back again in the near future and try and put in some more updates, but I'm enjoying the podcast. I love hearing from everyone else, so keep the updates coming. And if you want to hear more about my adventures in Austin, Texas, please check out my blog, which is kemirunner.blogspot.com. And that's it. Thanks, Kevin. Bye.
Hi, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is Rachel in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm a first-time caller, but I have been listening for several months. What prompted me to call in today is that 6 months ago today, I started back into running after a 14-plus year sabbatical, I guess you could call it, in which I had children and started a business and all the regular things that a busy life entails. But I also put on 20 pounds in those 15-plus years and just wasn't taking as good a care of myself. So back in late January of 2011, I started back into running. And it wasn't until maybe March that I discovered your podcast. And Kevin, I just wanted to call to say thank you for sharing so much of yourself and for creating such a supportive and fabulous community for all of us out there. I look forward to running with you every Sunday morning, and this Sunday was no exception. Chudley, my four-legged companion, and I just finished up 13 miles in Umstead State Park here in Raleigh, a beautiful run. Some heavy, heavy thunderstorms and downpours last night really cleared a lot of the heat from the area, and when we started our run at 7:15 this morning, we were running through a little bit of mist and fog, and we spotted deer and box turtles and great blue herons, and it's just been a fabulous way to welcome the day. So in the last 6 months, what running has brought to me, just been an amazing experience. I've lost a little bit of weight. That wasn't the main goal, but I also completed a half marathon at the end of May. And my long-term goal is to complete a full marathon, perhaps in 2012, in the company of my younger brother, who is currently stationed in Afghanistan with the U.S. Marines. So once my little bro gets back stateside, we plan to do some training and complete a marathon together in 2012. Just again, wanted to call in, say thank you so very much for creating this fabulous community. I feel so much more connected with runners around me on Daily Mile and through the various podcasts. And as a matter of fact, just this morning in the parking lot at the trailhead, I met four ultra-distance runners who are just incredibly friendly folk, and we were able to drop some common names that we knew off of Daily Mile. And, oh, and not a one of them was under 60 years of age. Just running is awesome. So everybody out there, have a fabulous, fabulous day. Enjoy that extra mile. Stay healthy. Have fun. Out.
So there you go, episode 86 of the Extra Mile Podcast. Good stuff, huh? I picked up on a couple of common themes in today's episode. One being, it seems like there's a lot of you who love to run with your four-legged friends out there. Chris, in particular, would like to hear some of your running stories with your best buddy. So I invite you to send your submissions to the comment line or the email address and tell us a little bit about your four-legged friends and how the running is going these days with those guys. The other very cool common theme I picked up on was one of training and running a marathon with a loved one. Our buddy Kevin, who understandably has not submitted for a while, dealing with other way more important issues, has got his son Michael somehow committed to train and run a marathon with him in the next year. And one of our new friends, Rachel, has got her little brother convinced to do the same. I've run 5 and 10Ks with kids, which obviously those memories will never go away, but I've never convinced any of them to do the marathon route with me. So I am particularly interested to see how those two fare in their quest to get loved ones out there for such a long distance and hard commitment. So Kevin and Rachel, please keep us in mind. Also, I assume you noticed that Kevin's son Michael and Rachel's little brother are both serving our country. And so on behalf of, well, I was going to say all the listeners of the Extra Mile, but that's kind of goofy. On behalf of an entire grateful nation, please make sure you thank them both for their service to our country. God bless them. And Michael, thanks for the review on the Spy Belt. Part of the reason Michael probably loves that Spy Belt is because he didn't pay a penny for it. Michael is also a listener of the Galloway Extra Mile podcast that Jeff and I do. And we've been able to put together some fun contests over on that Facebook page and give some stuff away. And so I would invite you to get over to that Facebook page, because I've got some more stuff, you know, very shortly that I intend on giving away, and I'd love to have you guys be a part of it. And before I forget, Michael finished his first 5K. Good on you, Michael. Congratulations. Now it's onward and upward, huh? Keep us posted on what's next, huh? I hope you caught the fact that in the submission from our buddy Peter, that he has a new running podcast himself. It's called Spikes. It is available on iTunes, and I will put the link in the show notes. It's really a good podcast. It's now on my playlist. He just posted episode 7, I think yesterday, and does a small review about a book that I've been pitching over at the Galloway podcast by the name of Younger Next Year. And if you don't listen to that podcast, I'd recommend that book to you as well. But anyway, check out Peter's brand new running podcast. I think you'll like it. I do. Thanks, Peter. Make sure you check out the show notes for not just that link to Peter's podcast, but some other notes and links from stuff you heard in today's episode, as well as our comment line, where I invite you to become an active participant of this podcast. That comment line is area code 206-339-6497. And we will all wait to hear from you. So, thanks for downloading the show, taking us along. We don't take for granted the hour or so you spend with us every few weeks. We appreciate it very much. And until then, y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Thank you. Peace in the neighborhood. 'Twould be a fine thing.
Thanks for joining us on the Extra Mile Podcast. Please visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show at theextramilepodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to send us your audio comments to let us know how your training is going, then please send an audio file to theextramilepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much for downloading the show, and we look forward to joining you again soon on the next edition of the Extra Mile Podcast.